Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overtime victory for the Buffalo Sabres, 4-3. The final score as we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel. Paul William Belt's postgame show underway. Sabres come back from a 2-0 deficit. Tie things up at 2 early third and eventually take a 3-2 lead before the Blue Jackets tie it in the final minutes. But Victor Olofsson getting his second of the night, his 18th of the season in his return. And a great return it was for Olofsson, and Buffalo pulling out a 4-3 victory here on 2000s night. A lot of good memories, a lot of good reminiscing going on here tonight. The Sabres with a nice comeback as they get it done by a 4-3 final score. Coming up here on the postgame, we'll be getting locker room reaction in just a few moments. Pat Malacaro on his way to the room, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to hear from Victor Olofsson, who not only was the hero tonight with two goals, was the first star, but made his return from injury, even a little bit earlier than maybe we had thought, at least from the original timetable. And he comes through big for his team tonight, once on the power play, once in overtime, and he gets the game-winning goal. So locker room reaction coming up from the winning side. We'll also have Ralph Krueger in his live postgame comments when he meets with Pat and the rest of the media. We'll take you there for that. All the necessary stats and highlights coming your way. We'll update you on the Eastern Conference standings. And also, at the end of our postgame show tonight, my interviews from our intermission tonight. Larry Quinn, of course, part of the ownership group led by Tom Golisano, who bought the team from the bankruptcy time period of the early 2000s. So I talked with Larry about that. We'll get his thoughts. And also, during one of our intermissions tonight, I was joined by former Sabre Tim Connolly, who, of course, reached maybe the peak of his tenure with the Sabres during that first 05-06 run, and a great first round of the playoffs for him. So we'll talk with Tim Connolly as well. We'll have those interviews coming up at the end of our Paul William Belt's postgame show tonight. Well, on a night where, again, the team's celebrating its 50th anniversary, and they honored Tom Golisano and the alumni that were back here tonight, it kind of just felt like, well, another one of those nights, even though it was supposed to be a special night. For most of this game, Columbus was in control and had the lead, but Jack Eichel woke everybody up with about a minute to go in the second period, getting Buffalo on the board. And then in the third, I thought the Sabres were the better team. Olofsson and Rodriguez end up getting goals. The crowd was into it. Even in a moment when a Blue Jacket player, Eric Robinson, ran into Carter Hutton, Jake McCabe jumps on him, starts cross-checking him. The fans are into it. The bench is into it. Others jump in to help out. And the Sabres had good opportunities. And eventually, it's Eichel setting up Olofsson in overtime to getting it done by a 4-3 final. And it's just too bad. It was a fun night to be in the building with the 2000 celebration. And at least for the second half of the game, it was an entertaining game to watch and fun if you're a Sabre fan. It just kind of stinks that in the standings, it's almost maybe a meaningless outcome here for Buffalo. For Columbus, they get a point. They're in the wild card race. They're in the race in the Metro for one of those top three spots. So I don't know if they're upset or happy with how that played out. Probably upset in the sense they had a 2-0 lead and ended up losing it here along the way. But, I mean, Victor Olofsson tonight showing that he was definitely missed as he picks up two goals. His 17th and 18th of the season is second in the league in rookie scoring. I mean, if he hadn't left, he obviously would still be first. He's having a tremendous year and may have a great chance to win it. It's just unfortunate for him, maybe the team that he's on, he might not get more attention for it. But definitely a deserving candidate to win the Calder for Rookie of the Year as he and the Sabres getting it done here. So locker room interviews coming up here in a moment. Ralph Krueger's postgame comments. And as we said, we'll get you through all the necessary stats and highlights on this one. Before we head into the room here, let's get a couple stats in. Final shot totals. In the OT, it was 3-1 Buffalo. Overall in the game, Columbus with the higher shot total, 30-27. Shots on goal brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. To the Misfits, Black Sheep, and Screwballs, this one's for you. Power plays. There was only one for each side of the game. Blue Jackets 0-for-1. The Sabres one of one. Olofsson's first goal early in the third came there. In net tonight, Carter Hutton picked up the win. He faced 31 shots, and made 28 saves. More stats of the game for you right there, presented by Strategic Financial Solutions. Love where you work, Strategic Financial Solutions. Your three stars next here, brought to you by Goya. If it's Goya, it has to be good. For the Blue Jackets, Marcus Nutivera, who got the game tire late. He was star number three. For the Sabres, Jack Eichel, he had a goal and two assists. Three-point game, star number two. And Victor Olofsson, in his return from injury, he had two goals. He is star number one tonight. Victor Olofsson is our high-impact player of the game. It's brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The announced attendance tonight here at KeyBank Center was 16,923. The Sabres will finish off this four-game homestand and a stretch of 9 of 10 at home on Sunday night. The Toronto Maple Leafs will be in town, and I'm sure there are many fans. 7 o'clock puck drop here at KeyBank Center. I hope you can be with us right here along the Sabres radio network. As far as how next week plays out, Sunday home for the Leafs, Tuesday in Ottawa for a meeting with the Senators, and then a week from Saturday, a 1 p.m. game in Pittsburgh. So that's how next week will play out. Then to close out February in the final week, a home Sunday matinee for Winnipeg, and then a Western trip, Colorado, Vegas, and Arizona. So that's how February will close out. As far as the Sabres go tonight, in their 58th game, they pick up their 26th win of the season. And in terms of point totals for the Sabres now, that pushes them to 60. If you're wondering about the playoffs, well, right now the closest team, Toronto, who has 68 points. The Leafs lost in regulation tonight to Dallas. So if you have any faint hopes of the Sabres maybe going on a run here with Olofsson back, they are 8 points back of the Leafs. They'll play Toronto on Sunday. I don't know if I'm setting the stage here for anything, that I'm maybe, you know, setting people up for disappointment here. 8 points is still a ton of points to make up on Toronto. Here's also the issue. You got to pass Florida in there as well. They have 66 points, six better than the Sabres, also with a game in hand. If you're thinking wild card, that's even a little tougher right now. The two wild card teams, Columbus, who picked up the loser point here tonight, and Philadelphia, both have 71. So the Sabres are 11 back of the wild card. So that even seems like more of a stretch. You've got Carolina with 67. I should also mention Montreal has 61 that the Sabres would have to pass, although they do have a game in hand on them. So, yeah, the closest thoughts about the playoffs right now, Toronto in third with 68. The Sabres are with 60. And if we just go back to the beginning of this homestand, we think about the losses to Ottawa and Montreal and Detroit, and even this past Sunday to Anaheim, there's four losses there. Even if you just win two of those, add four more points to your total. Now you're at 64, and you're only four back of the Leafs. And I'm not saying that I think the Sabres could overcome the Leafs. I think Toronto's a very talented team. They seem to still be not being able to play consistent enough. But, I mean, if you are only four back, at least tonight feels like this was a real meaningful comeback. And 8 points maybe can be overcome, but again, it's Florida in between. It's the other teams in between. The Sabres are still, right now, in there with 8 points back. But it could have looked so much better with maybe a different start to this homestand. A regulation loss to Ottawa. A regulation loss to Montreal. Just spin those two. And you're ahead of Montreal already with that win. And you'd be at 64 and only four back. Again, how many often here in February have I had this shoulda, woulda, coulda conversation with this team? And, you know, I mean, we can even go dive deeper back into the calendar to see, you know, where maybe, you know, you could have grabbed points here or there along the way. But, I mean, you don't have to go back far. This homestand is where it's at. All right, let's go to the room, get live locker room reaction. Up first, here's the captain, Jack Eichel, with Pat.
I thought we just stuck with it. I mean, even going down two, I thought we had some good chances in the first, and I thought we played good at times in the second as well. I mean, that's a really good hockey team. They don't give up a lot. I probably don't blow a whole lot of leads either. So, we did a great job just sticking with it in the room. We had a huge penalty kill there and the third period, and obviously it's tough when you give up 1-6 on 5, but stick with it and find a way to win in overtime, 2 points, move on.
Can you describe the game winner, Jack?
Obviously, just a quick attack there. Rass makes a good play over, and knowing that their guys have been out there for a little bit and they didn't really have a gap, just trying to attack them. And Vic, he's a pure goal scorer, finds a great spot, and kind of knew he was coming behind me, and he buries it. It's a great play.
How nice is it to have Victor back in the lineup?
Yeah, it's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if you ask him, he was getting a little frustrated during the game. But I've been there with the ankle sprain. It's not an easy injury to come back from at all. And, he has a huge impact on our team. So, he scores 2 big goals. I thought he played well. I mean, he's only going to keep getting better and getting back in the groove of things, and it's exciting to see.
Jack, obviously you're part of the puck drop ceremony at the beginning. How much of a sense did you and maybe the guys in here have of what was going on in the building tonight?
Yeah.
What it meant to the community?
Yeah, it's always cool when there's the pregame ceremonies. Obviously sort of a relationship with a few of those guys that were out there, and whenever the Pagulas are in the building and, you have a big ceremony like that, I think the energy is a little bit better, and I think it brings out the best of us.
What did you think of Jake's response when Carter was up?
It was great. I mean, I didn't see the collision with Hutz as probably well as I wanted to. I don't know exactly how bad it was, but, that's our backstopper. That's our netminder. We got to protect him, and Caber's a leader. It's good that we stick up for each other there, and we'll kill that penalty every day.
As tough as it is to get ice against them sometimes, how good did it feel that you got that goal late in the second and kind of changed things going into third?
Yeah, I think we needed a little bit of momentum going in the third period there, and thought we had been getting chances but just not capitalizing, and it was good to get that one. I thought it kind of got the crowd going a little bit, got the bench up, and I thought it drove some confidence to the room. And it's a lot easier going down by one going into the third than down by two, so I thought it was a big goal for our team.
Thanks, Jack. That's Jack Eichel on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Pat, thank you. Eichel, his 32nd of the season, referring to that goal there right at the end of the second period. He took it the length of the ice, came out of his own zone, and it was like the parting of the seas. For whatever reason, the Blue Jackets kind of backed off and actually made a wider opening, which you don't want to do for Eichel. Back to the room now. Here's live Victor Olofsson.
Don't see that coming. They should.
Yeah, I mean, Jack obviously made a great play. He kind of carried it into the middle, and everyone thought he was going to shoot it himself, and try to find that open space, and he fed me a great pass. I just had to hit the net.
How was it to be back tonight, get back in the groove, and obviously you found the back of the net?
It was great to be back. I didn't feel great for first couple periods, trying to find my game a little bit. It's obviously hard being out for 6 weeks. It's got a little rust in my game there, but I'm happy with the way I finished the game, and overall, did a pretty solid game.
How much did Jack's goal late second give you guys plenty of buzz going into the third?
Well, that was a really big goal for us. I mean, I feel like we kind of got our momentum back in the game, and that was kind of the turning point of the whole game.
They typed the game late in the third, and you guys came out with a bunch of chances right away. Evan said it was almost like a swagger to try to win before overtime. Is that how it felt?
Yeah, exactly. I felt we didn't lose any energy on the bench or anything. We just kept going, and like you said, we really wanted to win that game, and we eventually got it done in overtime.
How important is it for you personally to bounce back from that injury and have a game like you did tonight to get back into things?
I mean, it's big for my confidence to get two goals, obviously. Didn't feel great the first couple of periods, so I needed some time to kind of find my game. But right now it feels great, and I'm really excited to continue playing.
How close were you to converting those two games?
That was a great pass by Sam, and it was kind of an open net. It kind of rolled over my stick a little bit, it was pretty close.
It's Victor Olofsson on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Pat, thank you. Olofsson with his 17th and 18th of the season. One of them on the power play early third, which tied things up at 2. And then 1-244 into the overtime would end up being the game winner. 4-3 Sabres. One more interview. Let's go back to the room now. And the third Buffalo goal scorer was Evan Rodriguez. Here he is with Pat.
That he makes, and you know, why he's one of the best players in the league. He can change a game in one shift. And you know, I thought we actually today had some good chances in the first and second. We had some sustained ozone time. We just weren't capitalizing. You know, I don't think we had a bit of a lull in getting the second. But other than that, I thought we played well throughout. And you know, I think we got rewarded for that today.
That team defends well no matter who's in the lineup. How are you guys able to create time and space pretty consistently from first through the third?
You know, just getting it deep, I think that was big. You know, they come so hard, and you know, they have big, strong D, and you know, when we try to get it in there, use our feet, get some motion in the ozone, that's when we found success. And when we tried to be too cute through the neutral zone, that's when they, you know, we have turnovers, they capitalize. So just chipping pucks in, and then once we got in the ozone, then we got to work and, you know, started making plays.
Evan, do you have a sense of what was going on in the building tonight in terms of the alumni and what was represented here?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was cool hearing different goal songs, and you know, obviously in between the TV timeouts, showing highlights from you know, the 2000 and what happened. So it was obviously cool to see them all before. Obviously playing with Palmer, played with Coletta and Rochester, you know, but played and seen and talked to obviously some of those guys, and it was cool to get a big win for them on a big match.
Very next would you feel the response was for that?
I think just a mentality. I think we felt throughout the game that we were, you know, the stronger team, the better team. You know, we didn't get down when they scored. It was almost like as soon as they scored, we had a sense of optimism on the bench that we were going to either win it or win it in OT. So it was just that never give up attitude and that confidence and almost a little bit of swagger to go out and try to win it before, obviously, overtime.
What's it like to see Victor have a game like this when he gets back in the lineup after missing so much?
Yeah, that's just his shot is so dynamic that, you know, all it takes is two scoring chances and he changes the game. You know, he's lethal on that side of the power play, and you know, it's almost like he doesn't really get a shot in the first two periods, and then it's one chance and it's in, and that's the type of game changer he is. And obviously having him and Ikes on that PB unit on each flank is a lethal combination.
That's Evan Rodriguez in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Pat, Rodriguez getting his fifth of the year to give Buffalo a 3-2 advantage, and they go on to win it on Olofsson's game winner in OT, a 4-3 final. All of your Blue and Gold Locker Report interviews delivered by Speed Global Services around the corner or around the world. Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. For all of our local affiliates, we'll say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening, go to WGR550.com or listen in on the radio.com app. For all of you here on our flagship on Sports Radio 550, more Paul William Belt's postgame coming up live here at KeyBank Center. Ralph Krueger, his postgame comments coming up next. 4-3, Sabres win it in overtime. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This team, you know why they're one of the best teams in the league in the last, you know, last couple of months, and they don't give you anything. I mean, and to be down two and to fight through to get those chances and to, you know, Jack kind of opening that confidence that we can get back into this game at the end of the second was important. But, you know, we liked the overtime reaction. I thought we had a lot of chances in overtime, and the guys went out to, you know, we were playing for the win the whole way. Like, even 10 minutes to go in the third, we were not playing for a tie. We were playing for the win. We needed the 2 points today, and in the end, we got the 2 points through a lot of battles, and really proud of the guys tonight.
What about the sequence, Ralph, where
not really quite mathematically logical, but let's take it for that. I thought that the reaction and the way the guys defend each other as a group is strong right now if those situations occur, you know. But it was, of course, important. We need to fight for each other here, and you know, we've got to battle every night. It's unbelievable hockey for our fans, especially when we end up on the winning side. But these are very competitive games right now, and we're rising up to the challenge, and that's a lot of fun.
Considering the amount of time he missed, are you impressed with the way that Victor was able to really find his game, especially after the second period, it seemed?
Well, again, I have to start with a compliment to our rehab team. I mean, he's been on the ice in rehab for a while, and what we get done there, Dennis Miller in the lead on the ice, just, you know, our whole medical team off ice is amazing. The way these guys re-enter, I thought he needed 10 minutes first period. He was a little bit off here and there, but once he found his legs and he found his hands, it was just outstanding to have him back. We know why he's the rookie of the year in the National Hockey League for us, no questions asked. And he showed it against tonight. We missed him dearly, and it was just fabulous to have him back as a person and a player.
How important is that?
Yeah.
Jeff seemed a lot more active tonight, involved. What was the difference in him tonight?
Yeah, exactly what you just said. He was really, really moving his feet and competing hard. And, we've been speaking to him a lot about forget about the scoring, forget about the offense, just get battling and get moving. And we really thought he was battling hard tonight, and just loved the opportunities he was creating, and what he did on Roger's goal. Lots of positives for Jeff to build on here, and his goals will be a bonus when they start coming.
Going back to Victor, how important was it for him to have the game like he did tonight, given the time that he missed, and especially since he said after the game that he wasn't quite himself the first couple periods?
No, we had to convince him yesterday that he was good to go. He wanted to be 100%, and we told him that we can if he would have had some fatigue, we could have injected people, but that never showed up. It's very good for him to get back right back where he left off. Of course, we need everybody who can add offense right now to our hunger to score more, which has been a problem of late. Is what we need now to compete in these games in February and March. These are tough games. Every game is going to be a one-goal game, and Victor's return gives him that momentum to just keep on going. But he's worked so hard for it. He did an amazing job in rehab. Like I told everybody here in the media yesterday morning, just what he was doing off the ice too. He was studying the game. He wasn't sleeping. And just working on his body. He was trying to learn without playing, and you can just see he's such a smart player. How exciting is that for us for the future?
Ralph, a lot of history in the building.
Yeah.
Tonight, got a sense talking to a couple of the players anyway. They had a sense of that. Maybe yeah. Fed off it a little bit. Was that the case?
It's been really a lot of fun here. This 50th anniversary, going through the decades, and all of us in some way, shape, or form know somebody in the group. I know Daniel Briere really well. He went over to play for one of my best friends in Berlin during the lockout, and just what a great human being he is. And we were seeing everybody on the bench was kind of in touch with somebody there to see, Tom, the ex-owner here, and Gary Bettman for the event. All of the atmosphere here was something that inspired us. And after 30 minutes, we weren't happy with where we were sitting, knowing that there was language around that after the second period too. There's some eyes on us today that we'd like them to go home proud, and I think they're going to be proud of what they saw here today.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good evening.
There's Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger, his live post-game press conference brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Sabres get it done in overtime, 4-3 over Columbus. The Maple Leafs are next here in town on Sunday night. Okay, we'll take a quick timeout. Back with more Paul William Belts post-game, including our interviews from earlier tonight with Larry Quinn and former Sabre player Tim Connolly. That's all coming up here. Highlights coming up, standings update. As we roll on the postgame from KeyBank Center, I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, downtown Buffalo. Paul William Belt's postgame show following the 4-3 Sabre win. Let's get you now the Moments of the Game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. All right, we're going to pick it up third period. Sabres trailing 2-1, but not for long. An early power play and a one-time blast from Victor Olofsson to tie it at 2.
Dahlin over to Eichel. Eichel doesn't shoot. Eichel hangs on to it. Now into score! Welcome back! Welcome back, Victor Olofsson. He ties it at 2 with a bullet.
Well, it's for the rookie. It's kind of classic Olofsson right there for as little as he's had of his career. One timer from the circle on the power play, just like back in October. And Eichel sets him up. Also, Dahlin, his assist. So Olofsson is 17th, 2-10 into the game, 2-2 the score. Later in the period, Buffalo grabbing its first lead. And some nice patience, and then a beautiful shot from Evan Rodriguez.
Back comes Rodriguez. He drags it. Score! Evan Rodriguez has had some big goals against Columbus this year, and none will be bigger than that one to put his team in the lead for the first time tonight.
Rodriguez is fifth from Skinner and Hutton at 15:34. That gave Buffalo a 3-2 lead. Side note on the goal, Skinner picked up an assist. That's his first point since December 21st. 3-2 Sabres. Goaltender pulled for Columbus late, trying to tie things up, and they are able to do it. Marcus Nuttavaara beating Eichel to the net, and he gets his third of the year, tying things up at 3 with a minute 13 to go. That forced overtime, and then, of course, setting up the stage for Victor Olofsson once again. It's Eichel driving to the net, the drop pass right to number 68, who finishes the game.
It's tipped over to Eichel again. He'll bring it right back in. Eichel trying to go on the backhand. Got it in front. They score! Victor Olofsson, welcome back. Western New York welcomes you, Victor Olofsson, on a beautiful pass from the captain. Buffalo wins it in overtime.
2:44 into the extra session, Olofsson's 18 from Eichel and Dahlin. Just like the same stat line on his earlier goal. 4-3, Sabres win it. Of course, that's our goal of the game tonight. Brought to you by Revive Spine Center. Our only goal is getting you back to you. So a 4-3 final for the Sabres. Columbus out shooting the Buffalo 30-27. Buffalo's power play went 1-of-1. Columbus 0-of-1. Nuttavaara, the third star. Eichel, star 2. And Olofsson is star number 1 in front of 16,923. Buffalo next plays at Toronto. And as I said to start postgame, if you're still one of the few out there that think maybe the playoffs are in reach, I guess then you'd call Sunday a big game. The closest playoff team to the Sabres right now is third place Toronto. Buffalo has 60, Toronto has 68. So you'd call it a must regulation win for those that may have any sort of last-minute hopes that the Sabres can pull off a miraculous run. Time now for our Sabres Core Group feature. Look at the Core Group presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proud partner of the Buffalo Sabres. We'll start with Eichel tonight. 3 points, a goal, 2 assists. A minus one, though. He was on the ice for all the Columbus goals. He also was a part of that game tire. Was a little late reacting to Nuttavaara, who beat him to the crease for that game tire. 25 shifts. He plays just under 21 minutes. Led the team in shots with 5. Also, solid stat line for Rasmus Ristolainen tonight. Has an assist, a plus 2, just under 22 minutes. He was second on the team with 4 shots. There's your core group feature. Next, we go around the NHL. It's brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. All right, let's get to the games that are still going on. 5 minutes to go with the third period in Nashville, and the Predators are on their way to a win. They lead the Islanders 5-0 right now. 8 minutes to go in the third in Minnesota. The Wild holding onto a 3-2 lead on the Rangers. End of one in Colorado. Avalanche, a 2-0 lead on the Washington Capitals. 6 minutes into the game in Vegas, already a couple of goals. The Golden Knights and the Blues tied 1-1. 7 minutes into the game in Anaheim, the Ducks and Flames are scoreless. All the rest of your games tonight, finals. Toronto, who will be here on Sunday, they lose in regulation at home to the Stars, 3-2. Lightning, a 3-1 win as they stay hot. They beat the Oilers at home. Flyers roll the Panthers 6-2 the final. New Jersey beating Detroit 4-1, and Ottawa holding on for a 3-2 win over the Arizona Coyotes. There is your look at your NHL scores. Before we leave you here from KeyBank Center tonight, I want to play you a couple interviews to keep going on our trip down memory lane of 2000's night. I got a chance to speak with Larry Quinn. He, of course, was a part of the group that organized, led by Tom Golisano, that purchased the team back in the early 2000s, kind of saving the team from bankruptcy. So we'll have that. And then after that, you'll hear from Tim Connolly. So hope you enjoy these interviews as we continue our celebration night here of the 2000s. But first up, let's hear from Larry Quinn as he joined me during the first intermission tonight. Larry Quinn joining us here now. Hi, Larry. Great to talk with you. Yeah, same here. Thanks for taking a few minutes out. I know probably a busy day for you here. A lot of fun, though, too, right?
Really fun day. I mean, we've been treated so well. Kim and Terry have been so gracious to us. We're very appreciative.
Yeah. So just take us through the timeline for maybe some of our younger listeners or maybe fans that forgot. Just how did the group come together, and how did Mr. Golisano get involved, and kind of what was your piece into it and your relationship with him to kind of get that organized to purchase the team to eventually save it?
Well, when the Regas bankruptcy took place, there was a period of uncertainty, and that was, it's hard to remember the years, isn't it? That was 2002, and soon after that, people realized, this team's going to be sold and so forth. And so I was introduced to Tom by some mutual friends. He was running for governor, and he asked Dan DePope and I to make some projections of what it would look like if we bought the team. And so Dan and I did that, and we brought them to him, and he looked at them, and he said, well, this thing just loses money. And we said, well, yeah. And he goes, well, I appreciate your honesty, but I'm really not interested in something like this. But as Tom was more and more in the community when he was running for governor, he realized how important it was. And it was a Sunday night in August, around 10 o'clock at night. I got this call from a number I didn't. It was actually a blocked number, and I answered the phone. And he said, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think we can make this work. And so we initially put in our proposals to the NHL. They chose somebody else initially. They couldn't put it together. And on February 9th, 2003, at 5:05, after the other exclusive had expired, Gary called me, and he said, are you still interested? I said, yeah. And we put it together rather quickly. So it was February 9th. We signed an agreement to buy the team March 12th, and we closed in April. So it was a very quick process once we were selected.
Yeah.
And, it's amazing looking back on it, because, you know, when you're involved in it, and everything's happening fast, and you're tension, and you're worried about what's going to happen and so forth, you may not appreciate it. But looking back on it, we bought that team, and 2 years later, we're in the conference finals on the verge of, you know, with save injuries of winning the Stanley Cup. So it was a very quick ride and very exciting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, of course. After you took ownership, this team really exploded, and those two runs, I mean, I'm sure that's got to be the highlight in terms of the on ice and the team product during the time when you were there with Mr. Golisano.
Yeah, it was. When I woke up, I was just reflecting on my career, because I was involved. I was president when the Noxes owned the team as well, and I started thinking about the great games that we had. And a lot of people don't know this because of the Briere, Drury, you know, controversy, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the first thing we did was trade for Danny Briere. We did that at the trade deadline in 2003, and then we signed Chris in July. Our first year, we played well. We missed the playoffs by, as I recall, 1 or 2 points from a team that had been hovering around last place the year before. Then there was the lockout, and then that year was just magical. I remember that summer when the lockout had ended, and the Fan 590 in Toronto had picked us to finish in last place. We had lost Chetan and Zhitnik to free agency. So we were, you know, the clearly the underdog, and it really started right away. The team gelled. I think the leadership under Chris was just incredible. And we had added, by the way, Mike Greer 2 years before that, right before the lockout. Mike added a real unsung hero here. He reunited with us later. The last year we were here, we won the division. So we went from a team that we bought that was in last place, had 2 conference finals wins, obviously won 2 divisions in the process. And our last year we won the division. So it was a lightning run and very exciting.
Absolutely. Larry Quinn with us here. the team celebrates the 2000s decade here tonight. You mentioned Chris and Danny, of course, the two captains, and Lindy Ruff. We heard the quote in the pregame video about how the two of them were such leaders that he made them both captains.
Yeah, they were.
And, of course, you know, I, in promoting me having you on here today, some fans said, ask him what happened with those two. And, I know for you, obviously, it's not the thing that, you know, you want to highlight, but if there's a message to fans about that time, they were so passionate about those two. I don't know.
And they should be. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm passionate about them. I mean, I look at the shape this franchise was in when we bought it, and a lot of people gave us tremendous credit tonight, and it was nice. But, you know, the old saying, the house that Ruth built. Well, Drury and Brier rebuilt this franchise. Not just them, but that team, and they were the leaders of it. You know, it's when free agency comes along, everybody has a choice. The players have more of a choice. We knew we could only keep one given the salary cap thing, and it just got to be difficult because we didn't want to lose either one. So, you know, that's all I'd say about it. But I have nothing but just tremendous respect for both. They were both incredible players, incredible leaders. Chris Drury was a proven winner through his whole life, and we purposely sought him out for that reason. The thing that we saw with this team when we bought it was that they needed that mature leadership group. And although Danny, we got more for offense, he turned out to be a great leader. And Chris, we consciously did, and Mike Greer as well.
Yeah. How about the Winter Classic? I know that's a moment that the league, and I'm sure Commissioner Bettman has a lot
well
to thank
now
for the Sabres. Yeah, the NHL is it's worked out for them so well. So how did that initial idea come up?
Well, they were trying to build a relationship with NBC, and I think that what really came out of it is Edmonton had done an outdoor game some years before, not quite to the scale that the NHL does. And I think they're in their discussions with NBC. NBC, I think, more or less told them, we've got a programming window on New Year's Day. We'd really like to do something special. When Gary called me, he was pretty upfront about it, that a lot of teams weren't willing to take that risk to have a game like that. And I always thought we were risk takers and we were willing to be innovative, and we made this partnership. It's now an institution. But I'm very, very proud that we were the first ones to do it. And we didn't do it with ourselves. I mean, the league was the leader in it. But that first one, like the first Super Bowl, you know, it wasn't as glitzy, but it was really special.
Absolutely. Last thing for you, Larry. Obviously, as of late, too, you've been involved in local politics, too, and school board work and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
What's easier, politics or being a part of owning a sports team?
I never thought I was involved in politics. I had to run for office to help education.
Correct, yes.
And that's a tough road, man. I told Bettman today, I said, you know, I thought labor relations were tough in the National Hockey League. We're amateurs here. It's our future. And I Buffalo's been so good to me, and I just made that commitment to do it. I wish we had been more effective. I think we made some positive results, but the children of Buffalo really do deserve a lot better. And I'm still staying involved in education to an extent. I'm on the board of Garden Academy, and I stay very plugged into it.
All right, that was Larry Quinn from earlier tonight. He and Tom Golisano, who, of course, led the group together to buy this team from bankruptcy and from Gary Bettman and the league running things. And obviously that moment for the Sabres tonight when they were honored in the pregame, I'm sure he appreciated that very much. And we thank Larry for giving us a few minutes here tonight to give you some insight on how that all played out. Next, we will shift gears to hear from one of the players that were honored tonight. Many alums were back in the building tonight representing the 2000s, including Tim Connolly. I talk here about his incredible series that he had against the Flyers and into game one against Ottawa in the 05-06 playoff season. And his injuries, of course, that's part of his career. We talk about that and what he's up to these days. So here's Tim Connolly now from earlier tonight. Tim Connolly, the former Sabre, kind to take a few minutes out of his night to join us. Tim, thanks for coming on here tonight.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
All right. What was the pregame ceremony like there? Little introduction, nice ovation. You're down there with a lot of former players.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, just coming out, and I haven't been back in the building since today, so it was pretty cool. Yeah, had got some chills and kind of reminded me of when I played and made me kind of want to play again. So it was, and just to be out there with some of my old teammates, it was a lot of fun.
Well, when I put on Twitter that you were coming on, I actually had a few people reply and said, can he suit up tonight? I know fans are a little down on the current state of the team, but you obviously, from when we were talking before we went on here, you're involved in hockey, so here's a chance to talk about what you're doing now. You're coaching a team in Rochester.
Yeah, I coached the Rochester Monarchs AAA 12U team, and they're, I mean, it's a fun group of kids to coach, great group of parents, and they play a really tough schedule. They compete with all the top teams in Canada and the U.S., and, you know, it keeps the compete level in myself, and being able to teach them. They're right at an age where they're still learning a lot, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What is the best advice you would have to tell hockey parents that are listening right now as a coach? Because we know that, and this even goes beyond hockey, coaching now is tougher. Parents want to be involved. They all have an opinion. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of access. There's a lot of more access with email and texting and all that. But I'm the assistant coach, so the head coach
luckily,
has to deal.
Luckily, maybe you don't have to deal with.
He has
that,
to deal with all that. But I mean, just make sure your kid's having fun. You know, working hard and having fun, and as long as you're doing that, I mean, you're going to win hockey games, and that's what it's all about at that age is having fun. And you know, you're still trying to teach them to play the right way and do the right things. And I mean, just make sure they're having fun all the time.
Absolutely. Tim Connolly with us here on 2000s night. Your bulk of your career, of course, with the Sabres, started with the Islanders, finished with the Leafs, but the bulk in between was with Buffalo. And of course, maybe your best season statistically, the 05-06 season, where you go on and have just a tremendous first round of the playoffs. And then that great game one in Ottawa where you score twice and get it right at the end there. What do you remember about that 7-6 game? I know that's for fans. It's one of their favorite memories from those teams.
I remember being really excited that we beat Philly in the first round, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And then going into Ottawa, I think Ottawa was kind of a big favorite against us, even though we had a really good team. And the game just went back and forth. It was a high-scoring game, and I remember we had a few like shorthanded goals. And,
you had one of them.
Yes. I think Derek Roy had the other one.
Yeah.
But I mean, we had tremendous talent and tremendous leadership with Chris Drury and Daniel Briere on that team, and I think when it was going back and forth, it was like, whose game is it going to be? And we ended up getting the late goal, and then Drury won it in overtime, which I didn't even see. I was actually in the locker room for getting my skate fixed, and then I saw everybody jump out, so I just ran out there. But I think that really, I mean, gave us some confidence in that series, and we ended up winning that series. So it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, you scored your second of the night with 10 seconds left, and then in regulation, and then Drury scored 18 seconds in OT. So that timeline plays out that way. It was fast.
It was real quick. I mean, we had, like I said, we had a lot of, I mean, our talent out there with Drury, Briere, and we had Derek Roy. And, I'm not sure. I'm sure Campbell was out there. I'm not sure, but we ended up getting that last goal, and then I had to get my skate fixed in Drury. Sure, I didn't even know who had scored for us. I just saw everybody. I was in the hallway.
Jumping up and down? Yeah.
And everybody jumping on the ice. So I just ran out there and saw that we won. And moving on to game two with a big W in Ottawa, was huge for that group of guys.
Yeah. So I know, obviously, at some point in that series, we know, unfortunately, the injury occurs for you and struggles at times over the next year or so. How are you feeling now, and like, just how tough was and frustrating was that? I mean, for playing probably your peak in terms of how you were playing in the league at that point.
Yeah, I think I mean, going into that playoffs, I was very confident in the way I was playing, both offensively and defensively, just all around. And you know, it's just it's tough that it happened, but it happened, and that's hockey, and teams go through that. And we lost Jay McKee and QD later on in the playoffs, and I think if we were healthy, I think that was the year.
Yeah.
But I mean, woulda, shoulda, coulda, all being said, it was a great season, and All teams deal with this type of adversity.
That was Tim Connolly from earlier tonight. Hope you enjoyed that in our trip down memory lane as the Sabres celebrate their 50th anniversary with 2000's night tonight. Well, for more on the game, check that out on our game story, WGR550.com. Final score tonight, the Sabres in overtime get it done over Columbus 4-3. Victor Olofsson, two goals, the first star in his return. Of course, for more on the game, you can listen to Howard Simon tomorrow morning here on our flagship starting at 6 a.m. He'll have more thoughts on this OT win here tonight. And that will put a wrap here on our Paul William Belts postgame show. I want to thank our crew here tonight. Kyle Powell, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. The crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro and Jonathan Koziel. Our pregame show hosts were Chopin the Bulldog and our game announcers Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Koziel. I thank you for listening. The final again in overtime. Buffalo 4, Columbus 3. We'll talk to you on Sunday night. Sabres and Maple Leafs right here from downtown Buffalo on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.